أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. We're still talking about the fifth constant, which is victory is not limited to military victory. And we mentioned four meanings of victory so far. Number five is, the author says, إن المجاهد حينما يثبت على طريق الجهاد وعلى مبادئ هذه الشعيرة رغم ما يصيبه من نصب وشدة وما يعرض له من تثبيط إن هذا وحده يعد انتصارا بمفرده. والله تعالى يقول يثبت الله الذين آمنوا بالقول الثابت في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ويضل الله الظالمين ويفعل الله ما يشاء. He says, when the mujahid is steadfast and follows the path of jihad في سبيل الله, even though he goes through all of the hardship which is involved, this in itself is a sign of victory. If a mujahid is capable of holding fast to the sha'ira, the ritual of jihad fi sabilillah, that in itself is a big achievement. Because we're dealing with a time when jihad is not a popular thing to do. You know, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the time of the Sahaba, you go out as a mujahid, you come back, people welcome you, you're a hero. People encourage you to go out. Your wife could encourage you to go out. Your parents would encourage you to go out. We have stories where the father would have a fight, an argument with his sons on who should go out to fight jihad fi sabilillah. I mean, imagine how different that is from what goes on now. And we have the story of one of al-Ansar, I think it was in Ghazwat Uhud. He wanted to go out, and his children wanted to go out. Now, his children already went out in Badr, and he missed out in Badr. So now he wants to go and have them stay behind, and they refused. And they had to go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to solve the dispute. But nowadays, the situation is very different. Your parents are going to be against you. The community will be against you. The masajid would be against you. The government is going to be against you. The security services are going to chase you. So the fact that a person is able to remain steadfast, to practice the sha'ira for years, we're not talking about a day or a month, you know, an emotional high, and then after that he goes back to normal, and normal today is not really normal. So it's a challenge. Just to choose this path is a challenge, and to remain steadfast on it is a challenge. And this is a sign of victory. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah will keep firm those who believe with the word that stands firm in this world and in the hereafter, and Allah will cause to go astray those who are ظالمون. فَمَنْ ثَبَّتَ عَلَى طَرِيقِ الْجِهَادِ وَاسْتَمَرَّ بِأَدَاءِ هَذِهِ الشَّعِيرَةِ وأصبح من أهل هذه الآية ألا يعد ذلك نصرا له؟ بلى والله، فكم رأينا من جاهد وانتصر في الميدان ولكن مبادئه هزمت وقناعاته تغيرت وخدم شهوته ودنياه بما تحصل له من طريق الجهاد. He says, we have seen many mujahideen who were victorious in the battlefield, but his ideas, his principles, his convictions changed when he came back. So he was a hero. He was like a lion in the battlefield. But when he came back among his community, his principles changed. And he became a servant of his desires. And not only that, but sometimes they used their jihad fi sabilillah to serve them in dunya. So they came back as mujahideen, and because they are mujahideen and the governments are afraid and worried, the governments are willing to sit down with these brothers and negotiate. You know, we'll find you a job. We'll give you a nice car. We'll help you get married and settle down. Why are they making these offers to him? Would they make these offers to the regular Joe that they would see on the street? No. They would make this offer to the people whom they are afraid from. And this is a very important issue, and we need to elaborate on it a bit. You see, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam started his da'wah, in the beginning, nobody really cared much about his da'wah. It was secret, first of all. It was done secretly, and it was to the close circle surrounding Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His wife, his adopted son Zayd bin Haritha, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Abu Bakr, his close friend. But when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam publicized the da'wah, Ibn Hisham said, "فَلَمَّا جَهَرَ بِالدَّعْوَةِ تَنَابَذَ الْقَوْمُ." When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the da'wah public, that is when they became enemies, because now they saw the threat. And Islam is asking you to give up worshipping your desires, give up worshipping money, give up worshipping false gods, and ask you to worship Allah. So it does change the status quo. And people, there are a lot of people who are benefiting from the status quo. The political leadership, the economic leadership, and the religious leadership in any society is benefiting from the status quo. So they are the ones who tend to stand against the da'wah of Islam. So when they saw the threat that Islam presented, they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they made some offers to him. One of their leaders came to Rasulullah and said, "If you are coming up with this religion because you are hungry for power, we'll appoint you as a king over us. If you are coming up with this religion because you're hungry for money, we're going to give out money from our own purse until we make you the richest among us. If the reason why you're coming up with this religion is because of your love of women, we'll choose the 10 most beautiful women in Mecca and marry them to you. If the reason why you're coming up with this religion is because you're suffering from demons, then we'll spend from our money to cure you, even if it will exhaust all of our resources." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam refused to even comment on these offers, and he started reciting ayat from Quran, and he reached to an ayah that says, "And if you object, if you people of Quraysh refuse, then Allah will send on you a thunder like the one he sent on Ad and Thamud." When he reached to that ayah, this kafir put his hand on the mouth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "I ask you in the name of our relationship, of our," because they were relatives, "I ask you in the name of our relationship not to say this." They feared the da'wah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they feared the ayat of Quran, because they knew it was the truth. But the point that I'm trying to make here is that they made some very, very good offers, that if it was somebody other than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would have taken it. Any other leader would have accepted these offers. The point here is that what happened to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to happen to anybody who follows his way. Anybody who follows the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make da'wah, not the da'wah of where everything is variable, the da'wah that is watered down. No, we're talking about the true da'wah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you follow that path, then expect offers to be on their way. And the way they're going to deal with your da'wah is the carrot and the stick. You know, they used to say that one of the kings in our early history, he used to rule the people by gold and the sword. Some people he would use the sword against to subdue them, and some people he would use gold to subdue them. And the same thing, you could expect both. So in the same setting, you could be threatened with jail or being killed, or attacking or abusing your family, or taking over your wealth. And in the same time, they could also offer you that if you give up, if you negotiate, we'll give you this and that. And what Sheikh Yusuf Al-Iyari is saying has happened extensively in some Muslim countries. There are some Muslim countries that knew how to deal with the mujahideen who came back from the different fronts, and they succeeded in defeating the principles of some of the brothers. But that doesn't mean that they will succeed in the end, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised that the ta'ifa will continue, and we talked about that in the first constant. But there are many who fell down in the traps of shaitan. وَكَمْ رَأَيْنَا آخَرِينَ لَمْ يُصِبْهُمْ مِنَ الشِّدَّةِ وَالشَّقَى مَا أَصَابَ غَيْرَهُمْ مِمَّنْ لَا يَزَالْ ثَابِتًا يُجَاهِدٍ وَهُمْ لَمْ يُهْزَمُوا فِي الْمَيْدَانِ وَلَكِنَّ الدُّنْيَا هَزَمَتْ مَبَادِئَهُمْ وَهَزَمَتْ قَنَاعَاتَهُمْ لَفَّتْهُمْ تَيَّارَاتْ فَاسِدَةً فَأَصْبَحُوا لَا خَدَمًا يُخَذِّلُونَ وَيَعْذُرُونَ لهزيمة قناعاتهم بآلاف الأعذار، أليست هذه هي الهزيمة والثبات على المبدأ هو النصر الحقيقي؟ He said some people were defeated because of offers of wealth, dunya, and some people were defeated because of threats of punishment. And there are some people who were defeated in the field, in the battlefield, but their principles were never defeated. Number six. وبخروج العبد للجهاد يكون قد حقق انتصارا آخرا وذلك حينما يبذل نفسه ووقته وماله في سبيل مبادئه ونصره لمعتقده ودينه فإن الفداء لهذا الدين هو انتصار بنفسه سواء كانت له الغلبة أم لعدوه فبما أنه علا بمبدئه وقاتل من أجله وبذل نفسه رخيصة له فإن ذلك علو حقيقي حتى لو هزم في الميدان فقد قال الله تعالى لرسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولأصحابه عندما هزموا في أحد ولا تهنوا ولا تحزنوا وأنتم الأعلون. He says, and this is pretty similar to the one before it, he says that when you go out to jihad في سبيل الله عز وجل, you have achieved victory because you were willing to sacrifice yourself, your time and your wealth في سبيل الله عز وجل. Because sacrifice for this religion is victory. And Allah Azza wa Jal told Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Muslims after the Battle of Uhud, so do not become weak against your enemy, nor be sad, and you will be superior in victory if you are indeed true believers. So Allah Azza wa Jal told them that you are superior, and this was revealed after a defeat, the defeat of the Ghazwa of Uhud. قُتِلَ مِنْهُمْ سَبْعُونَ ومثل بهم وجرح رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وفر آخرون ثم تاب الله عليهم إلا أن ذلك لا يغير من الحقيقة شيئا بل رغم ذلك فإنهم في علو فعلو المجاهد حصل عندما دخل ميدان النزال وخاض معركة الإسلام فهذا هو علوه فانتصر على عدوه بعلوه فعندما يجابه قوما عزل لا يملكون من السلاح إلا القليل وهم فقراء قلة ليس معهم إلا الإيمان فمن أجل ماذا تجاهد الأمة عدوها وهي أقل منه عددا وعدة من أجل ماذا تجاهد الأمة عدوها وهزيمتها بالمقياس المادي البحت مؤكدة واقعة أليست أمة لا تملك المقومات المادية نسبة لعدوها وتواجهه بعدما أعدت ما استطاعت أليست أمة منتصرة من مجرد بدء الصراع إن الأمة التي تواجه بإيمانها عدوها المدجج بأحدث الأسلحة والعتاد إنما هي أمة منتصرة بشموخها ومبادئها. He says, when you are weak in terms of your resources, in terms of your weapons, in terms of your number, and you stand up against an enemy who is superior to you in all of these areas, and defeat seems to be certain because of the superiority of the enemy in every area. The fact that you stood up and you had the courage to fight in such a situation which seems to be a lost cause, that's a sign of victory. That is something that should impress anyone who is watching this battle. You are so weak in terms of numbers, resources, weapons, and you're still willing to stand up and fight. That is also victory. عندما يواجه من كان هذا حاله دول العالم بعدتها وعتادها وما تملكه من تكنولوجيا ألا يعد هذا علوا ونصرا أرخص العبد فيه نفسه من أجل ما يعتقده؟ بلى والله إن التاريخ يكتب بمداده حياة الأبطال ولو كانت نهايتهم الشهادة ومن خلد أكثر منهم وعاش في ذل فإن التاريخ لا يذكره بل يمقته وما أكبر البون وأعظم الفرق بينهم عند رب العالمين. He says, if this is your situation and you stand up against the whole world and your enemy is stronger than you in technology, stronger than you in numbers, stronger than you in terms of availability of weapons, and you're still willing to fight, this shows the level of sacrifice that these people are willing to take and is a sign and proof of their courage and their conviction. And this is victory. And if we look at the situation that we have today, where a small group of Muslims is willing to stand up for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal and fight against the superpower of the world and all of its allies, as we see happening in Iraq, even though there's a huge discrepancy in terms of weapons, in terms of numbers, in terms of resources, in terms of training. This is victory in itself. They don't have to win in the battlefield, because it shows how deep their conviction is and how willing they are to sacrifice for Allah Azza wa Jalla. And then he says that history writes down the names of heroes even if their end is shahada. And history forgets the names of people who refuse to fight for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal and protect themselves from death. وفي ثبات المجاهد على طريق الجهاد وعلى معتقده ومبادئه التي قاتل من أجلها يكون قد حقق نصر المبدأ وعلو العقيدة والدين على طائفتين. And he would achieve victory against two groups. The first group, الطائفة الأولى, انتصر بمبادئه على مبادئ الضلال الملية من أهل البدع والخرافة والفلسفة التي أبعدت النعجة وكدرت صفو النصوص وأولتها وحرفتها عن أصلها من أجل إرجاع المجاهد عن مبادئه. He said, you would defeat the people who changed their religion in order to water down jihad fi sabilillah and find excuses for themselves for not fighting jihad fi sabilillah. So you achieve victory against these people who are people of bid'ah. This is the first group. So this is an internal group. He's talking about Muslims. This first group is among Muslims. And then the second group, he talks about, you have defeated al-kuffar. انتصر بمبادئه على مبادئ أهل الكفر والزندقة والردة. ويتجلى ذلك النصر العظيم بموقف من كانوا سحرة لفرعون حينما هددهم بالقتل والصلب بعدما أعلنوا إيمانهم فقال لأقطعن أيديكم وأرجلكم من خلاف ثم لأصلبنكم أجمعين. We see the victory in the case of the sorcerers in the story of Fir'aun. Allah Azza wa Jal says that Fir'aun threatened them and said, surely I will cut off your hands and your feet from opposite sides, then I will crucify you all. So what was their response? They said, قَالُوا لَن نُؤْثِرَكَ عَلَى مَا جَاءَنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالَّذِي فَطَرَنَا فَقْضِي مَا أَنْتَ قَاض إِنَّمَا تَقْضِي هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. They said, we prefer you not over what have come to us of the clear signs, and to him Allah who created us. So decree whatever you desire to decree, for you can only decree regarding the life of this world. So who won? Who won in this dialogue? Even though Fir'aun was capable of carrying out his threat, and he did, but when you read these ayat, who won? It is the sorcerers, because of their thabat, their steadfastness. They said, وَمَا تَنْقِمُ مِنَّا إِلَّا أَنْ آمَنَّا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّنَا لَمَّا جَاءَتْنَا رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَتَوَفَّنَا مُسْلِمِينَ. And you take vengeance on us only because we believe in the ayat of our Lord when they reached us. Our Lord, this is a dua that they made. Our Lord, pour out on us patience and cause us to die as Muslims. Here, notice that they didn't say, oh Allah, give us patience. What did they say? Pour on us patience. In other words, what they're saying is, oh Allah, the situation we're going to go through is so difficult that we need so much sabr that we want you to pour it on us. Just giving us sabr is not enough. We want you to pour on us sabr. And subhanAllah, this dua that the sorcerers made is the same dua that the mujahideen made. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَأَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا. The mujahideen made dua. These are the ones who are following Talut. They said, pour on us patience. So jihad fi sabilillah needs so much patience. The word patience could also mean steadfastness in this situation. Patience for the long time that it would take. Patience against the pain. Patience in terms of sacrificing your wealth and your life. So it all needs sabr. ويتجلى النصر أيضا بقصة خبيب رضي الله عنه عندما كان مصلوبا بين أيدي كفار قريش وليس بينه وبين الموت إلا لحظات، كما في رواية أبي الأسود عن عروة حين قال: فلما وضعوا فيه السلاح وهو مصلوب نادوه وناشدوه: أتحب أن محمدا مكانك؟ قال: لا والله العظيم، ما أحب أن يفديني بشوكة في قدمه. And then he brings up the story of Khubayb. Khubayb was captured by the Kuffar and he was taken to Mecca and they crucified him. So when he was nailed to the cross and they were pointing their weapons to him in preparation of killing him, they asked him a question. They said, would you rather have Muhammad in your place? You know, because you're giving your life because of following Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You're dying and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in his house in Medina. And you are now being killed because of him. So they told him, would you rather have Muhammad in your place? What was the response of Khubayb? He said, I would rather die than have the foot of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam pricked with a thorn. And I would give up my life and die in order to save Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam not from death, but to save him from the pain of a thorn hurting him in his foot. Isn't this victory? This is a sign of victory. This shows how strong the iman of the Sahaba was, how strong their love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. I'm willing to give up my life and not have the foot of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam hurt. So now we see how the Mujahideen, they love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They love Allah azza wa jalla and they love the Ummah when they're willing to die for the sake of protecting Islam. While others claim that they love Allah and they love Rasulullah by singing and dancing and swirling around and sitting in the comforts of air conditions and a wide variety of food in celebration and claiming that this is the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How can you dare to say that you love the religion of Allah Azza wa Jalla when you know that the enemy has desecrated the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla and you do nothing? When you know that they flush down the Quran and you don't pick up your weapon and fight for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So right now we're going through events that show us truth from falsehood. It shows us who's telling the truth and who's lying. You see, before it was all gray. You don't know who's the true mu'min and who's the munafiq. But it is events like this, it is jihad fi sabillah who reveals, that reveal true iman from nifaq. And we notice that the phenomena of nifaq only appeared in Medina. It didn't show up in Mecca. It only came up in Medina because there was jihad in Medina. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Quran, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّمْ يُفْتَنُونَ فِي كُلِّ عَامٍ مَرَّةً أَوْ مَرَّتَيْنِ. Don't they see, this ayah is talking to the munafiqeen, don't they see that they go through one or two trials every year? Allah is telling the munafiqeen that every year there's one or two events that expose them. What are these events? It is ghazw with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was through the battles that iman showed up and nifaq showed up. وَكَمْ مِنْ أُمَّةٍ قُتِلَتْ وَأُبِيدَتْ وَانْدَثَرَتْ لَمْ يُخَلِّدَ اللَّهُ ذِكْرَهَا ويثني عليها كما أثنى على أولئك الذين وصفهم بأنهم فازوا فوزا كبيرا. لقد ساوم أهل الكفر أصحاب الأخدود على أمرين: إما الرجوع عما هم عليه أو الموت حرقا بالنار، والثبات على المبادئ. فلم تكن نار الدنيا لترجعهم عما هم عليه، فآثروا النجاة من نار الآخرة بدخول نار الدنيا، فتهافتوا في النار كأنهم جراد بإقدام وفداء لم يرعهم منظر النيران العظيمة، بل دخلوا فيها لينتصروا. وعندما تقاعست امرأة واحدة وفكرت وغاب عنها مفهوم النصر، أنطق الله رضيعها ليشرح لها مفهوم النصر الحقيقي والفوز الكبير، فقال لها كما جاء عند مسلم: يا أمه اصبري فإنك على الحق. فقفزت في النار فانتصرت ورضيعها. And now he brings up the great story of the people of Akhdud, the trench. And this is a great story of what victory means. Here you have a people, a nation, or a group who believed in Allah Azza wa Jal. And they were confronted by their government, by the king, who gave them two choices. Either give up your religion and live, or follow your religion and die. They chose to die. And the method of their death in itself is so horrific that we can only appreciate how great their steadfastness was. They were told to jump alive in trenches filled with burning wood. And they were jumping one after another in these trenches, burning to death. They chose the fire of this dunya rather than the fire of the hereafter. And when one mother carrying her newborn child was asked to jump in the fire, when she reached to the trench, she hesitated. So her child, Allah Azza wa Jal, made the newborn child speak and tell her, and this is in Sahih Muslim, O mother, you are following al-haq, so be firm. And she jumped in the fire. This woman, because she took the first step, and that is the willingness to jump in the trench, when she was about to retreat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped her. So if you take that first step towards Allah, Allah will make many steps towards you. If you walk towards Allah, Allah will run towards you. So the thing is, you need to take that first step. And then along this path, if you weaken, Allah Azza wa Jal will support you if you had ikhlas in the beginning. So Allah Azza wa Jal made this child speak, and this is a karama, a miracle that occurred just to save this woman, to save her. So he told her, you are following al-haq. From a worldly point of view, a secular point of view, they lost. They were all killed, and the king succeeded in eliminating this religion. He defeated them. Nevertheless, Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Al-Buruj, "Dalika al-fawzul kabir." This is the great victory. Allah calls it great victory, not just a victory, but great victory. Verily those who believe and do righteous good deeds, for them will be gardens under which rivers flow. That is the great success. The seventh meaning of victory. وَمِن مَعَانِ النَّصْرِ أَن يَنْصُرَ اللَّهُ عِبَادَهُ نَصْرَ حُجَّةٍ وَبَيَانٍ وَهُوَ قَرِيبٌ مِنَ الْمَعْنَى الَّذِي سَبَقٍ إِلَّا أَنَّهُ يَفْتَرِقُ أَنَّ الْمَبْدَأَ الْمُنْتَصِرِ هُنَا لَا يَكُونُ لَازِمًا عَلَى الْمُنْتَصِرِ بل يتعدى إلى غيره سواء مات صاحبه أم لم يمت المهم أن حجته تبلغ ويقتنع بها أقوام ولو كان مستضعفا لم ينتصر نصرا ميدانيا كما قال تعالى عن نصر حجة إبراهيم عليه السلام على قومه بعد مناظرتهم حيث قال وتلك حجتنا آتيناها إبراهيم على قومه نرفع درجات من نشاء إن ربك حكيم عليم. The seventh form of victory is the victory of your idea. So in the world of ideas, your idea will win. This is what they call the battle of hearts and minds. Your ideas, your principles will end up winning. And sometimes they only win if you pay the price with your own blood. Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah says about him, and that was our proof which we gave Ibrahim against his people. We raise whom we will in degrees. Certainly your Lord is all-wise, all-knowing. So Ibrahim won in his arguments and dialogue with his people. He achieved victory. And Allah Azza wa Jalla also says, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِي حَاجَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي رَبِّهِ أَنْ آتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكِ إِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّيَ الَّذِي يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتِ قال أنا أحيي وأميت قال إبراهيم فإن الله يأتي بالشمس من المشرق فأتي بها من المغرب فبهت الذي كفر والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين. Have you not looked at him who disputed with Ibrahim about his Lord because Allah had given him the kingdom? When Ibrahim said to him, My Lord Allah is he who gives life and causes death. He said, I give life and cause death. Ibrahim said, Verily Allah causes the sun to rise from the east, then cause it you to rise from the west. So the disbeliever was utterly defeated. And Allah guides not the people who are zalimun. وفي قصة انتصار مبدأ غلام أصحاب الأخدود دليلا واضحا على معنى نصر المبدأ، فقد قتل الغلام ولكن حجته ومبدأه انتصر وغلب كفر الملك وأسلم الناس جميعا. Also in the story of the boy which led to the trench, you might remember it, that this young man, the king tried to kill him by throwing him from top of the mountain, he failed. Tried to kill him by drowning him in the sea, he failed. So then the young man came to the king and told him, if you want to kill me, then take one of my arrows and say Bismillah and strike me and you will kill me. But you have to do it in the name of Allah. And the young man set the condition that you do this in front of everyone. So when the people saw that the king only succeeded in killing him when it was done in the name of Allah, what happened? They all became Muslim. And that is exactly what this young man wanted. So the king was so eager to get rid of this young man, and he did get rid of him, but what happened was exactly what he was trying to avoid. He was afraid of the da'wah of this young man, and that's why he killed him. And now the da'wah of this man took over all of his kingdom. All of these people, they accepted Islam. So here, the young man paid the price for his da'wah by his own blood. People like Sayyid Qutb, we recognize the value of his words because he wrote them with ink and blood. People like Abdullah Azzam, and like Sheikh Yusuf Al-Iyari, whom we're reading his book. These are people whom Allah Azza wa Jal gives a certain life to their words after they die. So it is as if their soul leaves their body and enters their words, and it gives their words a new life. والطائفة المنصورة أخبر الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم بظهورها ونصرها فقال كما ورد في الصحيحين لا تزال طائفة من أمتي ظاهرين على الحق لا يضرهم من خذلهم حتى يأتي أمر الله وهم على ذلك. الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم talks about that the طائفة, the victorious group, رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم says ظاهرين على الحق, they will prevail. Now, prevailing here means the prevailing of their da'wah. It doesn't necessarily mean that they will prevail in their battles. They could lose the battle, but their da'wah would achieve victory. The da'wah will always be there. The da'wah will always be available. Nobody can stop the da'wah of the victorious sect, because it is the ideas that will keep the sect going from generation to generation. The eighth form of victory. ومن أنواع نصر الله للمجاهدين أن يهلك عدوهم بقارعة من عنده ويكون سبب تلك القارعة هو جهاد المجاهدين فقد يعجز المجاهدون عن هزيمة عدوهم في الميدان وهذا غالبا لعدم المكافأة في المعركة ولكن الله قوي عزيز وبما أن المجاهدين قد بذلوا السبب وعملوا بما أوتوا من قوة ووسع للأعداد لجهاد الأعداء فإن الله سيجعل من مجهودهم البسيط ومواجهتهم الضعيفة سببا لهلاك عدوهم بقارعة من عنده وأكد الله لنا ذلك بقوله كم من فئة قليلة غلبت فئة كثيرة بإذن الله والله مع الصابرين. Number 8. One form of victory is that Allah عز وجل will destroy the enemy of the mujahideen in a miraculous way or through a supernatural event. And this is because the mujahideen have done their best. But because there is a huge difference in strength between the mujahideen and their enemy, Allah Azza wa Jal assists them through a miracle. And this occurs when the mujahideen do their best in terms of preparation and training. And they do their best in terms of fighting. Since they have done their best and they have fulfilled the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah Azza wa Jal helps them by destroying their enemy. And Allah Azza wa Jal says how often a small group overcame a mighty host by Allah's leave. And Allah is with the patient, as-sabirun. But they have to have patience. They have to have sabr. والقارعة التي حلت بفرعون من أجل جهاد موسى عليه السلام ومن معه توضح هذا الأمر. فإن الله تعالى قادر على أن يهلك فرعون قبل مجيء موسى عليه السلام أو بعد مجيء موسى، ولكن في أول إعراض فرعون وتكبره، ولكن الله أمهله حتى طغى وتجبر وخرج بخيله ورجله لإطفاء نور الله عز وجل، وفي الميدان حلت القارعة بفرعون وجنوده، وكان سبب موسى عليه السلام. He says that the death of Fir'aun and his army was because of the jihad of Musa عليه السلام. Allah could have destroyed Fir'aun before Musa, and Allah Azza wa Jal could have destroyed Fir'aun in the beginning of rejecting the da'wah of Musa. But Allah Azza wa Jal allowed him to carry on in objecting to the message of Allah Azza wa Jal, carry on in oppressing the Muslims. And then Allah Azza wa Jal destroyed him and his army in the way that you all know, which is a miraculous way. But it was because of the jihad of Musa alayhi salam and his followers. Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَأُوحَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَىٰ أَنْ يَضْرِبْ بِعَصَاكَ الْبَحْرَ فَانْفَلَقْ فَكَانَ كُلُّ فِرْقٍ كَالطَّوْدِ الْعَظِيمِ. Then we revealed to Musa saying, strike the sea with your stick, and it parted, and each separate part of that seawater became like a huge mountain. And Allah says, وَدَمَّرْنَا مَا كَانَ يَصْنَعُ فِرْعَوْنَ وَقَوْمُهُ وَمَا كَانُوا يَعْرِشُونَ. And we leveled to the ground the great works and fine buildings which Fir'aun and his people erected. Allah destroyed them. وَلَمَّا ظَهَرَ جِهَادُ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَأَعْرَضَتْ قُرَيْشَ عَنْ الْإِنْصِيَاعِ لِلْحَقِّ صَلَّطَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ عَذَابَهُ ليذعنوا لأمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، فقد جاء في الصحيحين عن عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنهما أن قريشا لما استعصت على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ورأى منها إدبارا دعا عليهم بسبع كسبع يوسف. And when Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was fighting jihad with the people of Quraysh and he saw their obstinance, their rejection of the truth, he made dua against them. He asked Allah to afflict them with 7 years of starvation, of famine, such as the 7 years that afflicted the people of Egypt in the time of Yusuf. Abdullah ibn Abbas says, فَأَخَذَتْهُمْ سَنَةً حَسَّتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى أَكَلُوا الْجُلُودَ وَالْمَيْتَةِ وَالْجِيَفِ وَيَنْظُرُ أَحَدُهُمْ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ فَيَرَى الدُّخَانَ مِنَ الْجُوعِ. Ibn Abbas says, so they were afflicted with a famine that made them so hungry that they ended up eating everything, including dead animals, leather, anything they could get their hands on that is edible, they would eat. And the situation was so dire that when one of them would look at the sky, he would see smoke. You know, they were so dizzy because of hunger. So Abu Sufyan had to come to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. فجاء أبو سفيان إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال له يا محمد إنك تأمر بطاعة الله وبصلة الرحم وإن قومك قد هلكوا فادعوا الله لهم. أبو سفيان came to Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and he told him, oh Muhammad, you encourage people to do good and you encourage them to be kind to their families, so ask Allah عز وجل to save us. Now he's begging Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم to make dua for him. Allah عز وجل says, فارتقب يوم تأتي السماء بدخان مبين. Then wait you for the day when the sky will bring forth a visible smoke. I mean, they were hallucinating. And subhanAllah, when a person is very, very hungry, their senses are affected. Their hearing, their sight is affected. And their hearing would become weak, and their sight would become very weak. يغشى الناس هذا عذاب أليم. Covering the people, this is a painful torment. ربنا اكشف عنا العذاب إنا مؤمنون. They will say, our Lord, remove the torment from us. Really, we shall become believers. أَنَّا لَهُمُ الذِّكْرَ وَقَدْ جَاءَهُمْ رَسُولٌ مُّبِينٌ. How can there be for them an admonition at the time when the torment has reached them, when a messenger explaining things clearly has already come to them? ثُمَّ تَوَلَّوْا عَنْهُ وَقَالُوا مُعَلَّمٌ مَجْنُونٌ. And continues reciting the ayat. This is Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه in this hadith. Why were they afflicted with this? It was because of the jihad of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وفي عصرنا الحاضر أكد زوال الاتحاد السوفيتي هذه الحقيقة فلم يكن المجاهدون في ميدان المعركة أقوى ولا أقدر ولا أكثر من صفيت، ولكن بحربهم لدين الله تعالى وقتلهم لأوليائه تتابعت عليهم المحن والبلايا والفقر والفساد حتى سقط الاتحاد السوفيتي. He said, in our present day, the end of the Soviet Union is evidence of this point. He said, because the mujahideen in the battlefield were not stronger or more capable or more in numbers than the Soviets. But because the Soviets were enemies of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Messenger and the believers, the awliya of Allah, disasters kept on coming one after another. And poverty, corruption, and different forms of punishment of Allah Azza wa Jalla were thrown at the Soviet Union until it ended up falling. It broke apart and it was the end of the Soviet Union. It was because of the jihad of the mujahideen. Now the mujahideen couldn't have done that by themselves because they didn't have the capability. But the end of the Soviet Union was because they stood against Allah Azza wa Jal and against the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then he argues that some people say that the Soviet Union fell because it was communist. He says, well, there were other communist countries and they didn't fall. Some would argue that it was because of their debt. He said, well, America has more debt, had more debt in that time than the Soviet Union. And he goes through these arguments and he says, in the end, one can only explain the fall of the Soviet Union by saying that it was because of the mujahideen fi sabilillah. And we can say today that any nation, no matter how strong it is, if it decides, if it takes the decision of fighting the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal, then it should be assured of its end. Whether the end would be on the hands of the mujahideen or it would be a consequence of fighting the mujahideen. Because Rasulullah ﷺ says, مَنْ آذَى لِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ آذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرَبِ. In the Hadith Qudusi, whoever stands as an enemy against the awliya of Allah, then Allah Azza wa Jal will wage war against him. The ninth form of victory, وَمِنْ صُوَرِ النَّصْرِ أَيْضًا أَنْ يَكُونَ الْجِهَادُ سَبَبًا فِي فَقْرِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَمَوْتِهِمْ عَلَى كُفْرِهِمْ وَعَدَمْ هِدَايَتِهِمْ وَهَذَا مِنْ أَعْظَمِ أَنْوَاعِ النَّصْرِ. He mentions here an interesting form of victory. He says that one form of victory is that jihad would be a reason for the poverty of the disbelievers and the death of the disbelievers on kufr. So it would prevent them from guidance. He says this is a form of victory. فَحَرْبِهِمْ لِلدِّينِ وَمُجَاهَدَتْهِمْ لِلْمُجَاهَدِينَ تُصْبِحُ سَبَبًا لِضَلَالِهِمْ وَإِغَالِهِمْ فِي الْكُفْرِ حَتَّى الْمَوْتِ. He said, so by fighting Allah Azza wa Jal and fighting the mujahideen, that would result in them becoming firmer in their kufr. And it would cause them to go deeper in kufr until they die as disbelievers. And they prevent guidance from reaching them. So their actions of fighting the mujahideen prevent the hidayah from getting into their hearts. And he says, and this is what Musa and Harun made dua for.
وقال موسى ربنا إنك آتيت فرعون وملأه زينة وأموالا في الحياة الدنيا ربنا ليضلوا عن سبيلك ربنا طمس على أموالهم واشدد على قلوبهم فلا يؤمنوا حتى يروا العذاب الأليم.
And Musa said, our Lord, you have indeed bestowed on Fir'aun and his chiefs splendor and wealth in the life of this world. Our Lord, that they may lead men astray from your path. Our Lord, destroy their wealth and harden their hearts so that they will not believe until they see the painful torment. Let's go again through this ayah. Musa says, our Lord, you have indeed bestowed on Fir'aun and his chiefs splendor and wealth in the life of this world. So we learn from this that wealth is not a sign of how close you are to Allah. There are anbiya who were extremely poor and there are kuffar who were extremely rich. So wealth is not a sign or an indication of how good of a Muslim you are. And unfortunately, many Muslims take this as a gauge of how close I am to Allah. So he says, Alhamdulillah, Allah has given me all of this wealth. It is a sign that I'm a good Muslim. And somebody who is poor says, I must be doing so many sins, that's why I am poor. Wealth has nothing to do with how good of a Muslim you are. Wealth is something that could lead you to good, and it could also lead you to evil, depending on how you use it. And then he says, that they may lead men astray from your path. So Musa is saying, oh Allah, they're using this wealth and this power to mislead people. So what was his dua? Our Lord, destroy their wealth. So he's asking Allah Azza wa Jal to take the wealth of Fir'aun from him. But then what did he say? And harden their hearts. So here he's not making dua to guide them. He's making a dua to misguide them. Oh Allah, harden their hearts so that they will not believe until they see the painful torment. Meaning that, oh Allah, don't make them believe until it's too late. So here Musa alayhi salam is so upset, so angry with what Fir'aun is doing. He's so upset with the kufr of Fir'aun, with the evil of Fir'aun, that he's saying, oh Allah, this man doesn't deserve guidance. So oh Allah, don't give him a chance to believe. فَدُعَاءَ مُوسَى عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ بِهَذِهِ الْأُمُورِ يَدُلُّ عَلَى أَنَّ تَحَقُّقِهَا يُعَدُّ نَصْرًا حَقِيقِيًا وَأَيُّ هَزِيمَةٍ أَعْظَمْ مِنْ أَنْ يشدد الله على قلوب الكافرين حتى يلاقوا العذاب الأليم وحينها يفرح المؤمنون بذلك الموقف. And this is victory because the believers will be happy when they see the punishment of Fir'aun. So this is victory for the believers. In the end, they will be the ones who are smiling while Fir'aun is the one who is going through torment.
فبطرهم وأشرهم وطغيانهم وزعمهم الدفاع عن الحرية والحضارة وحرب الإرهاب كل تلك الأمور سوف تنتهي بانتهاء حياتهم التي لم يبق منها إلا أقل مما فات وبعدها ينتقل إلى موقف يشفي الله به صدور المؤمنين عندما يقال لهم قال هل أنتم مطلعون فاطلع فرآه في سواء الجحيم.
He said, so the kufr and the evil and the tyranny of the kuffar and their claims of defending freedom and civilization and fighting terrorism, all of this will end by their death, which is so close. What is left of their life is less than what has already passed. And all of this will end, and a day will come when the believers will be in Jannah watching these disbelievers in hellfire.
وقد كان جهاد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أيضا سببا في بغي اليهود وطغيانهم فشد الله على قلوبهم حتى ماتوا وهم يعرفونه كما يعرفون أبنائهم فماتوا على الكفر والموعد يوم الحساب.
And the jihad of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم against the Jews was a reason for them dying on kufr and insisting on kufr until the last moment. By the way, with Fir'aun, he did become Muslim before when he was dying, but it was too late because the soul was already leaving the body. So Allah Azza wa Jalla accepted the dua of Musa exactly. When he saw the punishment of Allah, he said, oh Allah, I believe in you. But it was too late. Jibreel alayhi salam was present and he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and told him the story. He said, oh Rasulullah, if you would have seen me when I was stuffing mud in the mouth of Fir'aun so that Allah Azza wa Jalla will not have his mercy on him. Jibreel was saying that when I saw that Fir'aun wanted to say La ilaha illallah, I was stuffing his mouth with mud so that he wouldn't say it. I mean, even Jibreel didn't want him to become Muslim. Jibreel was so eager to have Fir'aun die as a kafir because he didn't see him as being worthy of the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. So he said, I was stuffing his mouth with mud so that the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal will not reach him.
The tenth form of victory, وَمِنْ صُوَرِ النَّصْرِ أَنْ يَتَّخِذَ اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ شُهَدًا فَكُلُّ عَبْدٍ يَعْمَلْ وَيَكْدَحْ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى إنما ذلك من أجل أن يدخل الجنة. لذا فإن الله تعالى قال: وتلك الأيام نداولها بين الناس وليعلم الله الذين آمنوا ويتخذ منكم شهداء والله لا يحب الظالمين. The tenth form of victory is that Allah Azza wa Jal will choose from among you shuhada, martyrs. Allah Azza wa Jal says, and so are the days, good and not so good, we give to men by turns, that Allah may test those who believe, and that He may take martyrs from among you. And Allah likes not the zalimun. فالشهادة اصطفاء من الله تعالى لعباده ومن يصطفيه الله لهذه المنزلة فقد فاز وانتصر. Notice here in the verse, Allah Azza wa Jal says, and that He may take. So Allah Azza wa Jal takes from among us shuhada. And it is the choice of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal chooses from among us who will be a shaheed. And that is victory. Because shahada is something that every true mujahid would desire. So your death, the death of the mujahid, which the kuffar consider to be victory, is actually a victory for the mujahid. The kuffar have given you a ticket to paradise. They are the ones who gave you the key to Jannah. I mean, imagine their misery when they see what they have done on the Day of Judgment. Look at what we have done. This was our enemy. And we gave him the key to Jannah. وَلِأَنَّ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ تَمَنَّاهَا ثَلَاثًا بِقَوْلِهِ كَمَا فِي الصَّحِيحَيْنِ عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولوددت أن أقتل في سبيل الله ثم أحيا ثم أقتل ثم أحيا ثم أقتل. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم himself hoped to die as a shaheed, and he asked Allah three times. He said that, and I wish that I could fight في سبيل الله and then be killed and then be resurrected and then be killed and then resurrected and then killed. He wanted to die as a shaheed three times. Allah Azza wa Jal says, confirming this victory, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. Think not of those who are killed in the way of Allah as dead. Nay, they are alive with their Lord and they have provision. So the kuffar, by killing you, are actually giving you an eternal life. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٌ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. And say not of those who are killed in the way of Allah, they are dead. Nay, they are living, but you perceive it not. ودليل على أن الشهادة نصر بذاتها ما جاء في الصحيحين عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال لما طعن حرام بن ملحان وكان خاله يوم بئر معونة قال بالدم هكذا فنضحه على وجهه ورأسه وقال فزت ورب الكعبة. فكيف لمن قتل وعاين الموت أن يقسم بالفوز إلا أنه قد وجد ريح الجنة والأدلة على انتصار المجاهد بنيل الشهادة وحدها كثيرة جدا بسطها العلماء في أبواب مستقلة في فضائل الشهادة في سبيل الله فمن رزق الشهادة فقد انتصر النصر المحقق. He said, he brings also another story to show that shahada is victory. It's a story narrated in Bukhari Muslim by Anas bin Malik. He said, my uncle Haram bin Malhan was stabbed on the day of Bi'r Ma'unah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent a group of Sahaba for da'wah. He sent them to this tribe to teach them Islam. But the tribe betrayed them. So Haram bin Malhan, when he was speaking to the head of the tribe, a man came from behind and stabbed him with a spear. The spear came out from his chest. So he soaked his hands in blood and then wiped the blood on his head and face and said, I have won in the name of the Lord of Al-Kaaba. This man is dying. He was killed. What is he talking about? I've won in the name of the Lord of Kaaba. The man who stabbed him didn't know what this man is talking about. So he was so shocked by these words, he went around asking Muslims to interpret for him what happened. Explain to me what this man means. I killed him and he says that I've won. Won what? So they told him, it is shahada, it is martyrdom. This man has probably seen Jannah. He's probably seen Al-Hur Al-Ain. He's probably now smelling Jannah. By being a shaheed, he has won. This man has been asking Allah to give him shahada and now he got it. So he's so happy. That's why he said, I have won. He's going through the pain of the stabbing. He's seeing blood flowing from his body. Somebody else would be crying and screaming and help me, take me to the hospital, bring a doctor. I don't want to die. Now Haram bin Malhan is saying, I have won. This man who killed Haram bin Malhan, when the story was explained to him, he became Muslim. Subhanallah. Yani Haram bin Malhan was giving da'wah even in his death. He caused the man who killed him to become Muslim. This kafir didn't understand what's going on. Subhanallah, I was in a situation where I was discussing with a Jew the meaning of martyrdom. He said, I cannot understand how someone would blow himself up. I mean, how would you do it? Why would you do it? So I tried to explain to him, it is for the sake of Allah, it is because of Jannah. You know, because they just don't get it, so they try to explain it to themselves in worldly terms, like they're suffering from depression, they're so angry because they don't have a chance in this life, they can't find a job, so they go and blow themselves up. Because they don't understand the meaning, the true meaning of Shahada. They think that this is somebody who wants to commit suicide because he doesn't have a good chance in this life. So when you have situations where some Muslims who are rich, who have a great chance of success from a secular point of view, and then they go in search of martyrdom, this completely destroys their theories, and they are forced to look at the true reason why somebody would give up his life. Anyway, after a long discussion with this Jew, in the end he said, I can't understand it, I just don't get it. And he's a Yahudi who's attached to dunya. He cannot understand that there is akhirah. 11. ومن صور النصر أيضا النصر الميداني نصر المعركة وهذا هو الذي يعرف معناه كل الناس وكثير منهم يحصر النصر به فقط وهذا خلل في المفهوم فما النصر الميداني إلا أحد أنواع النصر وقد فرح به رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في آخر حياته وأراه الله ذلك النصر قبل مماته ثم قال له ممتنا عليه إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح. Number 11, final form of victory is the form of victory that everybody knows, Muslim and non-Muslim, and that is victory in the battlefield. And he said that this is a form of victory, but it's not the only form of victory. And he says this is the victory that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the end. So when Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam died, he saw the fruit of his efforts. He saw the result of his mission. Allah Azza wa Jalla told him, when there comes the help of Allah and the conquest, إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا, and you see that the people enter Allah's religion in crowds, فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا. So glorify the praises of your Lord and ask for his forgiveness. Verily, he is the one who accepts the repentance and forgives. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح, when you see the victory of Allah, and he did see the victory of Allah. فهذه بعض صور النصر وهي كثيرة لا مجال لحصرها ولكن مثلنا بهذه الصور التي تدخل كلها تحت وعد الله سبحانه وتعالى عندما قال إنا لننصر رسلنا والذين آمنوا في الحياة الدنيا ويوم يقوم الأشهاد. These are some forms of victory. We didn't mention them all, and they are all included in the promise of Allah Azza wa Jal. We will without doubt, Allah says in Quran, we will without doubt help our messengers and those who believe, both in this world's life and on the day when the witnesses will stand forth. And Allah says, وَكَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نَصْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And as for the believers, it was incumbent upon us to give them victory. فَمَنْ ضَعُفَ إِدْرَاكُهُ عَنْ مَعَانِ النَّصْرِ فَإِنَّهُ يَقُولُ كَيْفَ يُحِقُّ اللَّهُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ نَصْرَ الرُّسُلِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَمِنَ الرُّسُلِ مَنْ قُتِلَ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ لَمْ يَمْلَكْ سُلْطَةً وَلَمْ يُسْلِمْ مَعَهُ أَحَدٌ وَمَنْ فَهِمَ مَعَانِ النَّصْرِ فَإِنَّ الْإِشْكَالَ عَنْهُ يَزُولُ. So when Allah Azza wa Jalla says that it's incumbent upon us to give victory to our messengers, some people might say, well, how can we then explain the fact that some messengers were killed? And how can we explain that some messengers didn't have any followers? But now, after we have went through the different forms of victory, we understand the true meaning of victory, and that even the messenger who was killed achieved victory, even the messenger who didn't have followers achieved victory. A Muslim who is steadfast is always winning. A Muslim who is steadfast will never lose. The thing is to have thabat, firmness, steadfastness. علما أن نصر التمكين والغلبة والسلطان هو الذي سيؤول إليه الحال في نهاية الأمر للأمة الإسلامية. But we need to say that eventually the destiny of this ummah, the destiny of this ummah is victory in the battlefield. You know, we'll go through all of these different forms of victory, but eventually the ummah will also be victorious in the battlefield. That will be the end result. Why? He says, فبشائر الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم ووعوده بالتمكين في الأرض لا تنصرف إلا إلى معنى النصر الميداني. He said, because there are some hadith that can only be interpreted as victory in the battlefield. You know, you cannot interpret them to mean other forms of victory. And he mentions some of these ahadith. ليبلغن هذا الأمر ما بلغ الليل والنهار ولا يترك الله بيت مدر ولا وبر إلا أدخله الله هذا الدين بعز عزيز أو بذل ذليل عزا يعز الله به الإسلام وذلا يذل الله به الكفر. That this affair, the religion of Islam, will reach wherever night and day reaches. So what does that mean? It means the whole planet. Because night and day reaches the whole planet. So Islam will reach all over the world. We can only interpret this to mean victory in the battlefield. That the da'wah of Islam will reach to every house. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and Islam will enter into every house. بَيْتَ مَدْرًا وَلَا وَبَرٍ in cities and towns and in villages. It will reach everywhere. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and this is in Sahih Muslim, إِنَّ اللَّهَ زَوَى لِيَ الْأَرْضِ فَرَأَيْتُ مَشَارِقَهَا وَمَا غَارِبَهَا وَإِنَّ أُمَّتِي سَيَبْلُغُ مُلْكُهَا مَا زُوِيَ لِمِنْهَا. Allah has shown me the whole world and told me that the kingdom of my nation will reach to all of it. So the first hadith is talking about da'wah, that da'wah will reach everywhere. This hadith is talking about the kingdom. So not only will the da'wah reach, but also Islam will rule over the land. And the hadith, لا تقوم الساعة حتى يقاتل المسلمون اليهود فيقتلهم المسلمون حتى يختبئ اليهودي من وراء الحجر والشجر فيقول الحجر أو الشجر يا مسلم يا عبد الله هذا يهودي خلفي تعالى فاقتله إلا الغرقد فإنه من شجر اليهود. That the Muslims will fight with the Jews and that the Jews will hide behind rocks and trees. So the rock and tree will say, oh Muslim, behind me is a Jew, come and kill him. Except for the tree of Gharqad, because it's a tree of Jews. This is talking about victory in the battlefield. You cannot interpret it to mean different forms of victory. And in the other hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, أَيُّ الْمَدِينَتَيْنِ تُفْتَحْ أَوَّلًا قُسْطَنْطِينِيَ أَوْ رُومِيَ. Which city will be opened first, Constantinople or Rome? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Constantinople will be opened first. But both cities will be opened by conquest. And the ahadith of Mahdi, they mean victory in the field. And he says that we have many ahadith, and it will be too long to mention them all over here. And he said that وَلَا يَسُوغُ أَبَدًا أَنْ يَتَّكِلَ الْعَبْدَ عَلَى تِلْكَ النُّصُوصِ وَيَتْرُكُ الْعَمَلِ بِحُجَّةَ أَنَّ النَّصْرَ آتٍ لَا مَحَالَةٍ وَلَكِنْ يَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ إِذَا فَهِمَ مَعَانِ النَّصْرِ أن يكون سباقا لها فإن الأمة إذا انتصرت وليس لها مجهود في ذلك النصر فإنهم الخاسرين ولكن لابد أن يحاول جاهدا أن يحقق لنفسه شيئا من معاني النصر الأخرى حتى يأتي وعد الله بالنصر الميداني. He said, eventually the ummah will win. And we shouldn't depend on these ahadith and say that Allah is going to give his religion victory, therefore we're justified to do nothing. He said, no. You want to have a part in it. What's the point of the ummah achieving victory and you're doing nothing and you don't get any ajr? So you want to play a role in bringing back the victory of Islam, because a lot of ajr will be given out and you want to have a share of it. وَالصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. This is the end of the fifth constant. Victory is not limited to military victory. صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى سَيِّدْنَا مُحَمَّدُ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمُ.